We're going to get into the Word this morning. Over the summer, I did it was sort of a mini series. I didn't mean to. I think I just tripped into it because I didn't know any better. And I started out talking about having childlike faith. And then I led the following week into kind of an adolescent phase where we would join the army of God, and we talked about spiritual warfare. And then 2 weeks ago, I kind of wrapped things up, and it was the weirdest message ever. I talked about how to die well. And like, young people, you guys loved that message so much. You didn't watch it on YouTube or listen to it on the podcast. But there were some older people that thanked me for a message on how to die. Young people, you're going to look that message up in a few years. All I'm saying, hey, Pastor Brad, you're 2020, how to die. So today I'm going to do, it's not part four, but it's certainly an addendum, if you will. It's sort of the bonus material on the Blu-ray from the producer. And I'm just going to give you one more little message on top of that. And it's not just how to be born. It's not just how to fight in the army of God. It's not just how to die. It's what happens after you die. You go to heaven, your body goes into the grave, and your bones just rot. We're going to talk about your bones. Not kidding, your physical bones that are going to go into the ground. We're going to talk about that today. I don't just want you to die well, I want you to leave a legacy. That was one of our points on how to die well, is to leave a legacy of faith in the next generation. And legacy is what we leave. It's that our influence that goes on after we're gone. And I just quickly was typing out some people that have had big legacy. Henry Ford, he died 75 years ago. But in 2019, 5.4 million Fords were sold all around the world. Walt Disney died 55 years ago, but in 2019, the Disney Corporation earned $11 billion. It's more than most small countries. And you might say that's a corporation. We're talking about people. Okay, fine, people. In 2009, Michael Jackson died of a drug overdose, but in 2019, the Michael Jackson estate earned $60 million. That's not bad money. You put a couple of those together, you might be able to get out of the projects. You know what I'm saying? $60 million, some will call that real money. Elvis Presley's been gone for 40 years. Last year, the Elvis Presley estate earned $39 million. That's a lot of mac and cheese. See, all of these men had unbelievable influence in life and a legacy after they were gone, long after they were gone. I mean, you could make a list of any kind of person that's died and has had a lot of influence. Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks, Albert Einstein, George Washington, Ben Franklin, Billy Graham. These men and women have died and gone on, but their legacy continues. They're still having influence in our world today. And that's what I want to talk about with you guys right now. When I was thinking of this and was typing this out, I was reminded of a Bible story that is totally bananas. It's one of those things that you read and you're like, yeah, I read this in 2 Kings. And it should transform your life. And you should write a book or have a t-shirt made or something or a hashtag. But instead, we just go on. And I'm going to point out a verse to you that's going to melt your face off. It's in 2 Kings. But before I get into the story, let me just set it up. We're talking about Elisha, the prophet. And if you're new to Bible-y stuff, Elisha was a prophet in the Old Testament. This is BC, before Christ. This is when Israel was a religious nation of the Jewish people that honored and feared the Lord. But there was the problem is that it was a very dark time in Israel's history. And the country used to be God-fearing, but they weren't God-fearing anymore. I know it's hard to imagine a country that used to be God-fearing that isn't God-fearing anymore. But just use your imagination and you can roll there with me. But even religious people, they used to honor God, but now their hearts had grown cold and they were no longer worshiping God. They were worshiping idols or they were atheists and very secular. So this once powerful, godly nation was in a very dark time. And other nations kept, you know, conquering the nation of Israel or parts of Israel. God always uses a remnant. So there was always a few people that still honored God, that still were operating in the power of God. So before Elisha, his teacher was a prophet named Elijah with a hard J. And he was a very powerful prophet in the nation of Israel. And towards the end of his ministry and the end of his life, he raised up. He had like a school of prophets. But there was one guy that he picked. And it was this young man named Elisha. And he picked Elisha to kind of take over the ministry for Elijah. And Elisha was a young man. He was a wealthy man. He was an influential man. But he quit his job. He left everything to serve the Lord and to serve Elijah. And when Elijah went up into heaven, Elisha received a double portion of the power of God that operated on Elijah's life. And then if you read in 2 Kings, Elisha had a very powerful ministry, and he did miracles and signs and wonders. But here's the difference. Elisha didn't have any disciples. He didn't have any students. And Elisha just grew old and died. And things were so bad at that time in the nation of Israel that other nations would come and conquer little parts of the little enemies, thugs. They would come in, street gangs, and they would steal and murder and pillage, and they would beat up on God's people. So Elisha grows old and dies. That's where we'll pick the story up in 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 20. Elisha died and was buried. And that's the end of Elisha's life and ministry. And the same verse goes immediately into groups of Moabite raiders would come and invade the nation of Israel every spring. One time, some of the Israelites were burying a man, and they spied a band of these raiders. So they hastily threw the corpse onto the tomb of Elisha, and then they fled. But as soon as the body touched Elisha's bones, the dead man was revived and jumped up to his feet. So King Hazael of Aram oppressed it. Wait, what? What you talking about, Willis? Can we go back to verse 21 where the guy died and was put on the bones of Elisha and then was raised to life again? This melts my face off. How do we not talk about this every day? How did Oprah not interview this guy? And like, why did he not write a book? I remind you, Elijah, powerful prophet, had a servant, Elisha, gave him a double portion of his power and of his anointing. And then Elijah went to heaven. Elisha operating in the power of God. And then he grows old and dies. And they're like, oh, prophet Elisha died. That's so sad. Here's a tomb. Because back in ancient Israel, they would just roll a stone over a cave. And they'd put the body in there and let time take its course. It's the Middle East. It's hot. And the body would decompose and it would rot. And then the bones would be left in there. So Elisha's body is in there. So fast forward X number of years. We don't know how long that Elisha has been gone. And a Israelite dies. So they take their buddy and they're like, all right, let's just find a cave. And they're like, oh no, thugs, bad guys, Moabite raiders. We'll just take our friend that died and throw him into the nearest cave and we'll run for our lives. And the dead guy's body comes and flops onto the bones of Elisha. And then the bones start rattling. And the dude is raised from the dead. And then we're supposed to read verse 22 like that didn't happen? Like King Aram from blah, 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 blah. Who cares? Let's talk about the guy that was just raised from the dead. This blows my mind that this isn't a t-shirt. You want to get a tattoo in Hebrew? Get this tattooed across your arm. This is amazing. Because God doesn't stop working even when we're dead and gone. His power is shut up in our bones. Elijah had been in heaven, but the power was still there. You know what this tells me? We all face very difficult death experiences in our lives. We all have dreams that I dreamed of playing professional basketball at 5'8". I'll be 46 next month. I don't think I'm gonna make it. I don't think Luca's passing me the ball. But in life, we all had dreams that died. We've all had relationships that have died. Some have had marriages that have died, relationships with kids that have died. We've seen churches die. We've seen careers die. And when we face these death things that bring us sadness, we're like, oh man. And we mourn these things and we put them in a cave and then we move on. But God's over here like, I wasn't done with that yet. And you're like, no, Lord, it's impossible for that dream to come true. And he's like, I'm God and nothing is impossible with me. Nothing is impossible when the power of God is involved. That sounded like Vincini from The Princess Bride. Nothing is impossible when the power of God is involved. It's inconceivable. That joke didn't work in first service either. Just because you think the dream is dead doesn't mean God's done with it. Nothing is impossible for God. Even facing death doesn't mean that the situation is over. Take young Isaac, Abraham's son, who was on the altar and was going to be dead. Seconds later, suddenly God provides a miracle ram in the thicket. Look at Jonah. He's disobeying God, not going to Nineveh, jumps off the boat. He's going to drown. No. A gigantic fish or a whale swallows him up, and somehow there's enough oxygen inside of this animal for 3 days that he survives. God can do a miracle even when you're facing death. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were sentenced to death. And the fiery furnace was turned up to 1,000. And the guys that threw these young men into the fire were burned up. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego not only lived, but the Son of God was the fourth man in the fire with them. Come on, somebody. Even facing death, it's not over till it's over. The same thing happened to Daniel in the lion's den. The hungry lions were supposed to eat Daniel, but instead they were his cuddle buddies that keep him warm that night. Fast forward to Jesus' ministry. Jesus' good friend Lazarus got sick and died, and they put him in a tomb, and his body rotted for 4 days. How dead do you have to be for it to be over? Jesus is like, 4 days isn't enough. Roll the tomb away. Lazarus, come forth. Jesus was in the grave for 3 days when Jesus was raised from the dead. It's never too late for God to do a miracle in your life. Ask Lazarus, hey, so how stinky was it when your body started to rot off your bones? Well, I thought it was over. My sisters thought it was over. But apparently 4 days of my dream of living, dying, wasn't enough, because God's power is greater even than death. Just ask the man who was thrown on the bones of Elisha. We take your dead dreams and I raise you the power of God. Take your broken heart and I give you the name of the Lord Jesus. Take this hopelessness that you've been walking through in this difficult season. It doesn't mean God can't do a miracle. So often, we feel the pain of these things in our life and in our heart. We limit the scope and power of what we think God can do in our life. Because we think very linearly. We think in a time order. I was born and then a dash and I lived this number of years and then I died and that's it. God has to work within birth hyphen death. And if he doesn't, it's over. We assume that God works in this very small-minded, limited way. So we limit the power of what we think God can do in our lives. God is not bound by human linear thinking. He's not bound by the clock. He's not bound by the calendar. He's not bound by what the doctor says. See, he doesn't operate in one two-dimensional linear transition. God operates in like 47 different dimensions. He operates in time. He operates in before time. He operates in after time. He operates in above time, below time, 2D, 3D, 4D, VR. He operates in smell-o-vision. Don't limit God by the time you have on this earth. Don't limit God because a dream or something has died in your life. Allow even the thought that God could do a miracle in your life. God likes to do miracles. He likes to do the possible where we think it's impossible. He actually sometimes will wait for something to die just so that he can bring new life. Don't you want to think that that man that died, that was put onto the bones of Elisha, let's assume he wasn't a believer in God. Let's just think that guy got born again when he woke up on the bones of Elisha. So you might look at your problem, your death thing in your life and think, you know what? I have been struggling with this addiction to alcohol, this addiction to pornography, this addiction to anger, whatever. So long, I'll never get free. This thing is dead. It's too late for me. It's too late for my marriage. It's too late for my relationship with my sister. It's too late for me to start a business. It's too late for this ministry opportunity that I felt God called me to. God makes the impossible possible. He literally said, nothing is impossible with God. This week, Josie and I were traveling. We were up in Colorado, which, by the way, a lot cooler than Texas, if you didn't know. I don't know why we live in North Texas. I think we should all pack up a U-Haul and move Uncommon Church to Colorado, but that's just me. Not your part of Colorado. I've been there. The pretty part. Her part smells like money. And when I say money, it's the part that comes out of the rear end of a cow. It's a dairy community. So I don't, yeah. It's a beautiful town. It smells like a, I almost said it in church. You can't say that. The pretty part of Colorado. Anyway, we were having dinner with some old friends. This guy's in his late 30s. And he is the president of a very large missions sending organization, multi-million dollar missions organization that has missionaries and pastors and leaders all around the world. I mean, a hero of the faith, and he's only in his late 30s. But 12 years before he took over as the head of this missions organization, he was a drug addict running from God as hard and fast as he could. Now, his parents loved the Lord, and they prayed for him to repent of sin and get free from drug addiction. And they were hoping, they were wanting God to get a hold of his life. But if you'd be really honest, they prayed for so many years, the dream inside their heart was dying. And they were hoping, and maybe they no longer even were praying in faith, that he would finally surrender to the Lord and get free and clean from drugs. They were just hoping he would know the Lord and go to heaven. Forget serving him and having an impact in countries all around the world. But then about 14 years, he got radically born again, completely set free of his drug addiction, and now he's one of these great young men that's a leader in the body of Christ. Nothing is impossible for God. You meet a 25-year-old drug addict, you're like, hey, this is a good candidate for a missions organization in a couple of years. Nobody does that because your dream for their life is over. Nothing is impossible for God. Josie's sister, her whole life had visions and prophetic words and dreams of being a mom and raising her own kids. And she got married young, and her and her husband were trying, and no babies. That's okay for a year, two or three. Sometimes we go through seasons and cycles, and Lord, in your timing, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But after 10 years, her little heart was broken. No babies. And here's the problem. Josie's dad is pretty well known, pretty influential, a lot of television programs and a lot of books and things on, he's well known. So in that 10 years, many famous preachers and, you know, powerful people prayed for her to have babies. And here's the problem. They would pray for her and they would have these visions and prophetic words. Like, oh my gosh, I see you with not just one baby, but multiple babies. You're going to give birth to your own natural children. Because they were preparing for adoption when after 10 years they couldn't have babies. She was letting the dream die. But then all these people would pray for her and it would just break her heart over and over and over again because she couldn't get pregnant. So about 11 years ago, Josie and her sister were at a women's conference in New Mexico with Roxanne Swan. Dave and Roxanne Swan are good friends of our church. Dave's on our oversight board. And at this conference, this women's conference, Roxanne, she gives an altar call. And she said, I feel like we need to pray for women that have been trying to get pregnant but can't. So if that's you, come on down to the front and we're going to lay hands on you and pray for babies. Her sister was so sad, so mad, so upset. She just sat on the back row, and I think she sat on the ground and began to cry. So Roxanne's praying for women, and then the Holy Spirit speaks to Roxanne and says, you need to pray for Johanna. So she gets back up on the stage and turns her mic on and says, where's Johanna? Where's Josie's sister? And now she's just bawling her little eyes out, and Josie's like, I think we're going to look bad if you don't. Just fake it till you make it. And she walked her bawling little sister down to the altar. Roxanne went and laid her hands on her. Johanna had this much faith for a miracle because that dream of having natural children had died. But wouldn't you know that 9 months and 1 week later, they gave birth to my niece, and now they have three beautiful kiddos. Come on, somebody. Don't say it's impossible. Well, the dream is dead. Yeah, but God's like, I don't work within your little dream system here. Now, let me just talk to people that have walked after one broken dream after another. You feel like you're never going to get out of the valley of the shadow of death. You feel like you've had broken dream after broken dream after broken dream. And you're alive on the outside, but you're dead on the inside. That's okay. And you need to be okay with the fact that it's okay to be dead on the inside. And I'm so sorry that you went through that abuse, that divorce, that neglect, that somebody lied to you, somebody mistreated you, somebody stole from you, somebody hurt you. And you're dead on the inside. But that doesn't mean that God can't do a miracle in your life because he actually likes to bring dead things back to life. Psalm 23 says, even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, don't be afraid because the Lord is actually close at hand with you. But I don't feel him. Yeah, but I'm reading to you the Bible that says God is near to you even in the valley of death and darkness. His rod will comfort you and protect you. He is near to you. In fact, he's going to stop in the middle of the valley of death, and he's going to prepare a table, Thanksgiving dinner, a feast in the very presence of the thing that's trying to kill you. He's going to honor you, lift you up, put a smile on your face, put a crown on your head, pour oil over you because he wants to bless you to overflowing. So So when you feel alone in the valley of the shadow of death, don't just trust that God is preparing a table to bless you, even in the very presence of the thing that's trying to kill you. So you hang on, you hang in there. You keep singing the song. You keep lifting your head. Now let me also talk to the other half the people. If you're not dead on the inside, lately, God's been doing a work in your life. You're walking in resurrection power. You're walking in faith. You're walking in eternal life. Here's what I need you to do. Speak life over everybody you come in contact with, because you never know when your life is going to be the very thing that shakes loose the death from somebody else. You never know when somebody's going to bump into your bones and receive a healing and a breakthrough that they so desperately need. So if you've got life inside of you, speak life. Get it on the outside of you. You have an obligation to get that power out of you. I want the worship team to come. We're going to sing here in a minute. You have an obligation to get that eternal life out of you. And here's why. Legacy. Elijah left a legacy in Elisha. He gave Elisha a double portion of his power, of his authority, of his ministry. Elisha didn't hand his power and ministry over to anybody. And that spiritual legacy died in Elisha's bones, and it was waiting to be given to the next generation. So when that dead guy was thrown into the tomb, that power that was released into that man because Elisha didn't give it to anybody else. So I propose to you that leaving a legacy of supernatural power and faith on the earth is really important to God, and it should be more important to us. So old people, I need you to lead a U group this semester. I need you to have some young people that you are pouring yourself into. I need you to be sharing what God's done in your life. Why? Because it's not just for you, it's for the next generation. Young people, you need to surround yourself with old people. What did Elisha do for Elijah? He served him. He carried his suitcase. He was gifted. He was anointed. He was rich. He was influential. But he surrendered his life to serve an older man. And when Elijah died, he received twice as much power. So young people, you need to surround yourself with some old people like me. And we want to pour into you. We want to help you to receive from God. You need to put yourself in the room so that you can share, and it'll be poured into your life as well. We're going to sing a song this morning. And I know that 2 weeks ago when I talked about dying, I had my daughter come and sing a special song, and you guys just sat in your chairs and you cried and you Instagrammed her and you said, oh, I heard the voice of an angel, or how did she get to be so pretty when Brad's so ugly, or you know, whatever it was you were thinking. This song is going to be a little different. This is going to be an anthem that for those of you that are walking in life, you're going to declare and just let that supercharge your bones. But for those of you that are walking in death, you're going to make some declarations over your bones. And I don't care if you feel it or not, just stand there and just sing and just keep singing. And you know what? Because those bones are going to start to rattle. Hop up on your feet and sing. For 20 minutes, something's been burning on your heart. Some dream, some relationship, some fear. Something has been on your mind for this whole time. And you're like, is it possible that God could bring a miracle in this part of my heart, in this part of my mind, in this part of my life? I'm telling you, nothing is impossible with God. So what I need you to do is make this your declaration, make this your war cry, that nothing is impossible with God. My God is able to save, he's able to deliver, he's able to heal. Come on, somebody, come on. Depending on heat, humidity, time, bones will decompose down to dust in anywhere from 25 to 100 years. And Elisha lived 3,000 years ago. But let's just play the what if game. What if Israeli archaeologists, they're like, bro, we found the tomb of Elisha. You know those bones that had that electric shock to bring that guy back? We found those bones. I would want one of those bones. and I'd have it sent from Israel, and I'd walk around to some of your hearts and some of your lives and some of our churches in America, and I'd say, you need the power of Elisha through this bone. But then even as I thought that, I'm like, well, that's stupid. I don't need the power in a bone. I need the power of God. I need the power of Elisha to be released in this place. We need his power and his presence poured out. That's what brings dead things to life. Not a bone, not a man, but the man and his power and his presence and his name that is above every name. Here's the problem. Sometimes we pray for a miracle and it doesn't happen. We pray for a healing and it doesn't happen. We pray for a breakthrough and it doesn't happen. We pray for a blessing and we fall on our butt. And we're like, man, is God even able to heal? Is God even able to move? Is God even able to fix this marriage, to fix my womb, to fix my whatever is hurting and facing so much pain and death? I've prayed for people, and I'm telling you, I've had such faith, and they've still died and gone to heaven. And I've prayed for other people. I'm like, oh yeah, God bless them too. And I've seen blind eyes open. I saw a lady come back from the dead. I've seen food. Like, I've seen miracles. But when you pray and there's no breakthrough, there's no healing, it's heart-wrenching. But it doesn't mean that God is not good, and it doesn't mean that God is not more than able to do another miracle. It usually means that ever since Genesis chapter 3, the devil has been the Lord over the earth, and bad things happen to good people, and good people get sick and have car accidents and die, and bad things happen. But that doesn't mean that God's not good. Because I've also prayed for enough people that I've seen enough miracles that I'm like, yeah, God's good, God is real. So your faith has to be living and active, right? To really engage with the Lord. So that you don't count the losses, you count the wins. It might only be one or two wins, but that means that God is real and he is alive and nothing is impossible for God. And you might pray, Lord, help me in my unbelief. God, give me faith when I have no faith. Can I let you in on a little secret? The dead guy that was thrown on Elisha's bones, at the current state of his deadness, he had this much faith. So it's okay to go into this song and be like, I have no faith, but I'm singing the song anyway. That's okay. There's nothing our God cannot do. Look at it this way. It is so hot in here. Shut up. If you're visiting, I used to be 30 pounds heavier. So every time I wear just a t-shirt, our youth pastor says, woo. Because I don't know where it went, but 30 pounds is gone. Shut up. Now all of you shut up. I'm trying to do Jesus stuff. Let's not do diet stuff. Where was I? I got it. Lazarus was a good friend of Jesus. Mary and Martha were his sisters, little family. Jesus was close. So when Lazarus got sick, Jesus was out traveling and preaching. And they're like, hey, friend, king of the universe, your good buddy Lazarus is sick and he could die. We would really like you to come pray for him. And they sent that text and it went undelivered. So Lazarus is on his deathbed. And Mary and Martha were like, hey, Lazarus, it's cool. Jesus loves you. He's your good buddy. He's gonna come and he's gonna heal you. Okay, thanks. And then Lazarus breathed his last breath and died. Can you imagine the heartache in Mary and Martha, the pain that they felt? Because their faith was in Jesus, but he didn't come. So they're wrapping his body to put him in the grave. And they're like, it's okay. Jesus can raise the dead. He's done it before. He'll do it to our brother. And they're putting him in the tomb very, very slowly. Like, he'll be coming around the corner at any minute because I need a miracle. And he didn't come. But that didn't mean that Jesus wasn't going to raise him from the dead. It simply means that he wasn't going to do it yet. So they put Lazarus in the tomb. They roll the stone. 4 days goes by. And Mary and Martha are in agony. because they believed and they expected a miracle and it didn't come and it didn't happen. So Jesus comes finally and Martha is like, where were you? We reached out when he was sick. We reached out when he died and you didn't come to me in my pain. And Jesus said something to Martha that he had never said to anybody else. So listen to this carefully. Anytime Jesus says something for the first time, pay attention. Throughout Jesus' ministry, he said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. But to Martha, after Lazarus was dead for 4 days, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Keep reading. Anyone that believes in me will live even after they've died. And then if you don't know the story, he said, I want y'all to roll that stone away. And he called to Lazarus to come from death to life. Jesus gave this promise that anyone that believes in him would go from death to life. I'm asking you that are here this morning, and I'm asking you that are watching online right now, do you believe in Jesus? Because sometimes we walk with death in our heart, in our soul, in our spirit, man. We don't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. We've allowed sin into our life. Sin has separated us from God for so long. We're zombies. We're alive on the outside, but we're completely dead in our heart and soul. And we live for ourselves and we live for our sin. And Jesus is saying, enough is enough because I've taken your sin to the cross. And if you believe in me, even though you die, you will live forever and ever and ever. You have to repent of your sin and believe that Jesus is Lord. So if you're here this morning, and I'm talking to you, or you're watching online, and you believe that Jesus is Lord, but you've never repented of your sin, you've never asked him to forgive you, or it's been a minute. Maybe you were a young person, your grandma, your mama took you to church, and you visited a church camp, but that was years ago. And right now, you are so far from God. You don't feel his presence. You don't know that if you got hit by a bus and when you died today, that you would live. Today is the day of salvation. Today is your day to ask Jesus to forgive you. And if you believe that he is Lord, the Bible says, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. I'm not just the God of the living. I'm the God of the dead. I don't just have power over this linear thing. I've got power before you were ever born and power after you're gone and your bones. Here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna pray. And if you're the first time and the first time in a long time, we're gonna pray and ask the Lord to forgive us of our sin. And then we're gonna believe that Jesus is Lord. If you believe it in your heart, I want you to say it out loud. Church family, why don't we all do this together to help those that are here and help those that are watching online. Say, dear Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sin. So Lord, forgive me. I repent. Wash me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I surrender my life to you. Be the Lord of my heart, the Lord of my life, and I receive the gift of eternal life. My bones are going to rattle with your power and your presence on earth and after I'm gone. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Hey, I'm so proud of you. Come on. If you prayed that prayer for the first time or the first time in a long time, I want you to text the word Jesus to 817-405-2244. You're going to get an auto response form back. Fill out the form, and it's going to go to one of our pastors that's going to get in touch with you and help to encourage you in your walk of faith. If you're here this morning and you prayed that prayer for the first time and the first time in a long time, reach into the seat back in front of you, and there's a long, skinny black card that says Connect. I want you to fill out your name and your email and check the box. I made Jesus Lord of my life, or I recommitted my life to the Lord. And what we're going to do right now is I want our prayer team to come on down here, put on a face mask, and put some hand sanitizer on your hands. If you need prayer because you were one of those people for the first time or the first time in a long time, I want you to bring that card and pray with one of our prayer team. Or if you need your bones to rattle, I want you to come bump into one of these people. If there's a death in your heart, a death in your life, a death in your marriage, a death in your vision, a death in your dreams, a death in your finances, a death in your ministry, in whatever area, take a minute and bump into somebody's bones from a social distance. Because I want the power of God to bring life where there has been death, to bring joy where there has been sorrow. And the rest of us, even if you don't feel it or not, I want you to sing it. I want you to lift your voice. I want you to lift your hands as a declaration that your bones are going to rattle with the power of God. Let's sing. Told Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. And he told some young men, roll the stone away from the cave because I want to speak to Lazarus's dead body. Sometimes you need to speak life when you've been speaking death. And if you can't speak life, shut your mouth because your breath smells like death. And it's not just the mask you've been wearing. So sometimes your miracle is simply in the fact of you shutting your mouth and stop speaking death and stop speaking fear over every situation that you face. And roll that stone of doubt and unbelief and death and fear away from your life so that Jesus can speak into the soul of who you are and say, live now. The best thing you can do sometimes is shut up. Start agreeing with the Lord and stop agreeing with the devil. Because God's got an amazing plan for your life to prosper you and to bless you.